Thanksgiving. And I want to start out, I want to read a verse to you that, in all quite honesty, challenges me to the very core of who I am. And it says here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Let me read that again, in case you didn't quite get that. "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing." And right here in verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's what? Will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, Paul is writing this, and we're talking about a guy. He wrote later in 2 Corinthians, I think many believe he wrote this book before he wrote 2 Corinthians. He talks about being whipped, shipwrecked, stoned, I mean, all kind of hardship, hunger, cold. But yet he says this, so I'm assuming that some of that was already happening, so he definitely was tested after that because he had a lot of bad things happen to him. Now, me personally, it's not natural for me or probably anybody, human beings, to be thankful in everything. Right. So, you know, my natural bent is to say, well, maybe that's an obscure verse, and maybe the translation is a little distorted, and maybe we can't really go by that as something we need to really be concerned about. That's my natural bent to say that, but I don't think it's been distorted. It's pretty clear what it says. And then if you go down in Ephesians, he talks about it again, and he says, "Always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father." So he says it again. I'm like, well, good gracious, I can't deny that that's a real verse I got to listen to. You got to listen to all verses, but you know, some people try to fudge on whether they have to do certain things in the Bible. Come on now, ain't that right? The Bible he didn't write the Bible so that we would be comfortable. He wrote the Bible so we would be challenged. And sometimes we read scripture and say, I can't be what it means. I must be the only one who has to deal with that kind of thing. Everybody's being quiet. In Colossians chapter 3, says the same thing. It says, whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through God to God the Father. Giving thanks. But how do you do that? How do you give thanks in everything? I feel like I have a little insight on what's going to maybe can help us here some this morning, especially myself, because it's not a natural thing for me to be thankful. So the title of my sermon today is Being Thankful When It's Hard to Be Thankful. Remember, I don't know if you remember, a while back I preached a sermon on believing when it's hard to believe. Well, this is part two. Being thankful when it's hard to be thankful. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come together as we're entering into Thanksgiving season. Help me, Lord, communicate what you put on my heart this morning, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we just had a flood a couple of weeks back, and then when all that happened, it just took me back to 1999. Starting to show my age a little bit and start talking about that. Took me back to 1999, and I had some moments that I was a complete failure in this issue of being thankful in all things. Complete failure. Right. So I'm going to tell you about it a little bit. Now, don't judge me now, all right? I'll tell you. But the flood came, Floyd came in 99. And I remember we're sitting in our house. We didn't get flooded by the river. We got flooded by what they call a drainage basin. So it was like a flash flood that happened that night of the storm. And so we're sitting in our house, our new house, the first house we ever bought together as married. It was new. It's only about a year old, like 1,400 square feet or something like that. And we're, you know, our first home, and all of a sudden, the water starts rising. And I'm looking around, and Catherine says, "We're going to stay here." Catherine's always goes to the faith angle. I'm always go to the negative angle. She goes to the faith angle. And she said, "We're going to stay here. I'm going to get on the bed. We're going to stay here with our house. We're going to believe God, yada, yada, yada." And I said, all right, you know, I was all that. But as I was standing outside on the steps and the water began to rise, it came up to the porch. Like, this is the porch, and it came up to the porch right here. We had two small children, and I began to be concerned. And I don't normally speak to my wife this way. If you speak to your wife the way I'm about to share, your marriage won't last. Let's put it this way. I went in there, and she was sitting there. I said, get up. I don't know exactly what I said. Something like this. She might remember. It may be seared in her brain. But I know for me, I said, get up, pack the clothes. You're getting out of here. I don't care what you think. You are leaving now. Was it close to that? Yeah, it was close to that. And believe me, I don't talk to her that way. If I did, I'd be in premarital and postmarital counseling for a long time. But at that moment, I was afraid for my children, and I knew we had to do something here. So we got out. The water was up to our ankles, and we finally, I got around to some friends who were around the corner. So I come back in the middle of the night, and just to go to show you my ignorance of things, I put some towels by the door, thinking that's going to hold the water back. I didn't know water came into walls. I don't know why. I thought they were waterproof or what. But the water's coming in, the carpet's starting to rise up like this and bubble up, and the diapers are starting to float in the, you know, floating about that big around. I mean, Pampers work, let me tell you. They were floating about that big. And I'm putting stuff up. I had a neighbor, and we're putting stuff up as high as we could, not knowing what was going to happen. And we put up some valuable stuff and all that. And I remember looking at the house going, God, well, let me back up. Let me keep going. I'll go back to that. But I remember the stuff starts flooding. All the lights are on. I'm watching the cable TV. The water's coming in, rising up. Every light in the house is on. And I guess I get everything up. I start thinking, I better turn this utilities off. This place is going to burn down tonight. So I go turn off the breaker box. And then I finally make my way. And the water is up over my knees. It's up about here. And I remember trudging through. And I looked to where Catherine was that way. And I said, well, there's no. It was scary. I mean, it was middle of the night. It was, I don't know how deep it was. I said, I can't go that way. So I went up this way. Some other friends that I had on the other part of the neighborhood. And spent the night with them. And went back. All this, you know, I ended up having to stay with. We stayed with Pastor Mike and Mary Beth for a week, and then I had to stay with some other friends and sent Catherine to her mother's to stay while I was trying to figure out where we're going to live and all those kind of things. But I remember sitting on that front porch. Half of everything we owned was on the street, ready to be hauled off. Thank God some of that was just old yard sale furniture we bought. Thank God. But that was piled up out there. Drywall we had to gut the house was piled up out there. And I remember sitting on that porch, think, oh God, apocalypse now. You know, I'm going to be financially ruined for the rest of my life. I'll never be able to sell this house. Nobody's going to want it. I can't even rent it out because somebody's going to be in danger. I mean, my life is, I don't know if I'm ever going to recover from this. You know, even though I had insurance, the insurance guy comes by. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, there's a difference between flood insurance and homeowner's insurance. And the homeowner insurance guy came, and I was thinking, this is the guy going to take care of me. He comes in, walks around the alley. He said, well, there's some removal stuff. There's some, you know, limb removal. Let me just give you $500 for removal. I said, whoa, wait a minute. Did you see my house? Oh, no, that's not me. That's somebody. You're going to have to wait a few weeks for that. I'm like, what are you talking about, waiting a few weeks? I got nowhere to live. My children aren't even. The Lord held me back. I wanted to lay into him. How dare you give me a 500? Well, thank God for the 500, 1,000, whatever it was, but that ain't going to help me much right now. I held back. But I was sitting there just in on that front porch thinking about how my life financially was ruined forever. This thought came to my mind. I wasn't being real thankful right then. I had a lot to be thankful for. I was safe. My children were safe. A lot of people lost a whole lot more than I did. They didn't have insurance. I'm sitting there, and this thought comes to my mind. Why don't you just trust God with this? Why don't you just trust God with this? And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, me of little faith. Me of little faith. And I said, okay. And when I started trusting God with this, I started realizing I need to be thankful for what I do have. And so it began to lift, and I began to have a little bit of hope, and I began to make a long story short. At the end of all this, the FEMA bought us out. I love FEMA. They bought us out. I got out of that house. It's in a 100-year floodplain. You know, on a side note, a 100-year floodplain in Greenville means 15-year floodplain for anybody who knows. See, I threw myself off. What was I saying? Fog bought me out. We ended up with another house with a garage. And for me and Kathy, we thought we had arrived. We got a garage, man, and the door actually works. It goes up and down, you know what I'm saying? That's where we were at. We felt like, woo, we got a garage. We don't have to get wet now every time we come in the house. Anyway, but God blessed us and took us through that. And I think I failed a lot of the thankful tests during that moment in my life. I failed a lot of those tests of being thankful for what's happening in my life, what I did have. And I have a feeling that all of us, I could probably go down the line and say, every one of us can have a testimony of times when it was really hard to be thankful because of situations that have happened in your life. You're a teenager. I'm trying to get out of school. I can't even go to college. My grades are struggling. I got a hard time. I mean, I'm sure that would be a stress on you, a college student trying to get a job, or struggles at home, struggles paying the bills. I mean, all this stuff, all the opportunities we have not to be thankful. I think all of us have experienced that. But I want to read something I want to talk about just a moment here in Mark chapter 9. There's a situation, a story here of a man and his son. Because I believe there are three things that we need to have in order to learn how to be thankful when it's hard to be thankful. And so I'm going to go down this, and I'm going to read through some of this and see if we can glean some points out of this that we can apply to our lives. So if you turn with me, if you have your Bible, to Mark chapter 9, verse 14. If you don't have a Bible, you can look on the screen. But it says here, when they had come back to his disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and some of the scribes arguing with them. Immediately, the entire crowd saw him, and they were amazed and began running up to greet him. And he asked them, "What are you discussing with them?" And one of the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought you my son possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it slams him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and stiffens out. And I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it." And he answered them and said, O unbelieving generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me." They brought the boy to him. When he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, and falling to the ground, he began rolling around and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. It has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." And Jesus said, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the boy's father cried out and said, "I do believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter again." And after crying out and throwing him into terrible convulsions, it came out, and the boy became so much like a corpse that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up, and he got up. So the first thing that I want to point out in this is the first thing that Jesus challenged his disciples on was, "Oh, you unbelieving generation." And then he went to the father, and the father was telling him what was going on. And he said, "If you can help me, do so. If you can do anything, do it." Now, even some commentators on the scholars on this say that when Jesus says, "If you can," because he said, if you can, Jesus, help me. He'd already had doubt about the disciples' help, and they couldn't help him. Then he goes in and says, "Jesus, well, if you can help me, please help me." And Jesus responded, and here's what's really unique about what Jesus said right here. He asked him a question. He said, "If you can." Let me say that. It was like, "If you can." It's almost like he took it as a personal challenge to him. "If you can, And so I can sort of picture Jesus' eyes getting big and a little smile kind of on his face. If you can, do you know who you're talking to? You're talking to the Son of God who has the Spirit unlimited. Do you realize, sir, who you're talking to here? If you can. Then he says, all things are possible to him who believes. And his confidence rose so much at that moment because of Jesus' confidence in having faith. If you can, all things are possible to him who believes. So the first point here is faith. The first thing that I've gleaned from this is he says, you've got to have faith in me, the Son of the living God. You've got to have some faith. Once he shared the faith part with him, something else transpired and something else happened at that moment. The thing that happened, then the Father comes, responds and says, I do believe, help my unbelief. Now, what happened then between can you help me and I believe, help my unbelief? What happened during that moment? There was a shift of attitude that took place at that moment. In other words, his attitude was, this can't happen, shifted to, oh, yes it can. So there was a change of his mind. There was a change in how he responded to Jesus at that moment. There was an attitude shift at that moment. Now, you continue to go on down the narrative, and we see that Jesus went ahead and healed the boy, and he was healed. Now, the background of this, that was, so there's two things so far that we see. We see faith. We see an attitude shift. We see an attitude shift. The third thing that I see working in this narrative is this: Jesus asked him, he said, how long has this been happening to him? And the father said, responded and said, since he was young. So the boy was probably, could have maybe been a teenager by this point, 11, 12, teenager. He's not real sure why old he was. But anyway, this is something that had been taking place for quite a while. So the thing that sticks out to me is this man had perseverance. Even though he was struggling with his faith through it all, the third thing that sticks out to me is that there was a perseverance about this man that even after all these years, he still sought out Jesus. Even though his faith got some wounded because the disciples couldn't do anything, he had some attitude problems that anybody who goes through stuff is going to have some attitude issues. Just give people grace and mercy. When they're going through stuff, they're going to have some messed up attitudes. Especially us, me, anybody else. I've had some messed up attitudes when you're going through stuff. And this guy had some messed up attitudes. Jesus didn't rebuke him. Jesus didn't say, oh, I can't believe you. Don't have any faith. It's your problem. He just said, if you can, I am the Son of God. You know, that's how he responded. It wasn't a harsh thing. But there was a perseverance about this man that when he would bring his son, believing somehow, some way, can somebody help him? So there's three things that I see that's really pulls out of this. First off is faith. Secondly is attitude. And third is perseverance. It required those three things for this boy to get healed. Now, let's talk about us a little bit then. How this applies to you or how it applies to me. First and foremost, if we're trying to be thankful when it's hard to be thankful, the first thing we got to have in the midst of our struggle is faith. We got to have faith that we serve a God who loves us, who cares for us, who's with us through the thick and the thin, who's there no matter what's happening. We have to trust that that's the God that we serve. We got to have faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Now, I had a hard time believing that this flood stuff, that I was going to survive it and then come out on the other side of it. Because I didn't have the faith at the moment to get me through it until God shook me up on the porch and said, can't you just trust God with this? You know, I find it so interesting. We get up, those of us who are in the ministry, we get up or We're witnessing somebody. We talk about God's going to do this and God does that until it happens to us. Then when it happens to us, that's when the rubber meets the road. It's easy for me to tell you, it's going to be all right. God is going to be with you. Come on, get some faith, man. He's got it. But when it happens to you, baby, it's like, oh, God. You know, I'm talking about myself. I'm not talking about you now. I'm talking about me. But we got to believe that God sees things in an eternal perspective. If you go back and look at my, listen to my other sermon about when it's hard to believe, believing when it's hard to believe, I go into a lot of other things that were happening in our lives around that time. But it's hard to believe sometimes. It's hard to be thankful. But you got to look at, no matter what's going, how are you thankful in everything? The only way I know to do that is have faith. That God sees things from an eternal perspective. That He's got His plan. He's got His power activated. He is going to work it out somehow, some way, in the midst of that. And we can just have to stand upon His word and say, faithful. In verse the Thessalonians says, faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass. You got to believe God that no matter, I know it's hard to be thankful right now, but Paul says to be thankful. Because I believe if you are thankful, I believe it takes you past where you're at to the next side. But I think if we're grumbling and complaining, I think the Lord's going to sit there and say, well, I might just let them grumble and complain a little bit longer. That sounds terrible. Look, I've lived that. I've been there. I've been the grumbling and complainer, and God let me, you know, wallow in it. But I think there's an aspect of us having faith to believe that God is for us and He's not against us. So if you're having a hard time being thankful, you got a physical ailment, or you got some family stuff going on, and you got this stuff, be thankful for what God has done for you. Be thankful. Get your eyes upon Jesus, the one who died on the cross, the author and the perfecter of your faith, who died on the cross, rose from the dead, saved you, gave you eternal life, transformed you. Even when it's tough to be thankful, you can be thankful for that. A lot of times I can't be thankful. It's hard for me to be thankful for certain specific things that have happened. But I'm thankful for the result of what God did in my life as a result of what happened to me. You don't grow on the beach, laid out in the sand. That's vacation. That's not when you grow. You grow when you're in the fire pit, shoveling in the fire coals, trying to make it through, finding your way through all that. That's how you grow. That's how you build faith. Now, so I can look at certain things. It's hard for me to look and say, I'm thankful that I got flooded. But I know what God did in my life and what He did through me. And I saw something about God's nature. And I learned something about myself. I learned something about God. And I entered into an intimacy with Jesus that I never would have had I not gone through that particular thing that happened. But that's how you can be thankful. So I can sit back and say, I don't know why I had to be flooded. I was sitting on that front porch board going, God, You told me to buy this house. I felt the peace of God about this house. I thought You wanted me to buy this house. It seemed like everything was pointing to that. And we stepped out in faith and had a peace, and You provided, and it was all wonderful. You know, sometimes God will lead you down paths. And just because something happens bad on that path doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. I was sitting there thinking, God, I can't believe You. You know, God's like, well, yeah, I told you to do it. So I look back and I go, I'm grateful because I learned how to be thankful for what I did have. Learn how to be thankful that God had provided for us. I learned how to be thankful that I was able to rescue my recliner and straighten it out and clean it out and get all the Clorox on it and get all that stuff off my recliner. I've still got that bad boy upstairs. You know, my wife wants to get rid of it so bad. I'm sorry I had to throw that in there, y'all. I just, you know, Kathy said I'm going to be buried in that recliner. Anyway, we go on that. But I'm thankful for what God did in me and what He did in my wife and what He did in our family through the challenges that come in your life like that. So faith. Secondly, applying the right attitude. Now, let me read you this quote from Maya Angelou. Pop that up there for me. I can't see it. There we go. If you don't like something, change it. If you can't change it, change your attitude. Well, there's a lot of things you can't change. But we can sure change our attitude and have faith about it, can't we? Let's read the second quote I have here. Develop an attitude of gratitude and give thanks for everything that happens to you, knowing that every step forward is a step toward achieving something bigger and better than your current situation. Develop an attitude of gratitude. I didn't say it was easy. Listen to what the Bible says here. Philippians chapter 4. I want to read this. I'm going to read several verses. The last verse is the one I want to highlight. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And here it is right here. "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence in anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." Dwell on these things. He didn't say you wasn't going to have stuff that wasn't pure or things that wasn't lovely or things that wasn't good. He just said, don't dwell on them. Dwell on that which is pure. Dwell on that which is lovely. Dwell on these things. Now, we have a mind. Thank God we have a mind. I hope we use it most of the time. But you know, we have thoughts go through our minds that we can't always control. Thoughts are going to fly through your head. Good thoughts, bad thoughts. I've had thoughts go through my head before and think, where in the world did that come from? Oh, I hope that's not in my heart. Oh, God, I repent. God, that thought went through my head. Oh, because I was so distraught because a thought went through my head. But I began to realize there is a battle that we wage, and it's with our thought life. And for us to have a proper attitude, we got to recognize, okay, that's from God, that's not from God, and that's from me. And sometimes it's not easy to discern that. There's sometimes that there's these negative thoughts that come into your mind, and they may be true. You know, you are ugly. Your hairdo is really bad. And for some of you guys, that might be true. I know it's not true for any of you women. But that don't mean you got to dwell on that, right? Think about the lovely things. Hey, I'm a man of God. You know what I'm saying? So you got to watch your brain. That battle that comes in, the temptations that come into your soul. You got to fight those things. And that's the same way with your attitude starts up here in your mind. I've met, and please don't take this wrong, I've met elderly folks who were just as positive, who've been through all kind of sickness, and I was amazed at how positive they were and how much of a good attitude they were because they had their hope in Jesus and in eternity. That this life is temporal, but Jesus is eternal. And the afterlife is eternal. And in this life, we're going to have trials and tribulations. But in Him, we have the victory that overcomes the world. Yeah. Then I've met others who were so negative and mean, grumpy, fussing about everything, ill about everything. I don't mean sick ill for Southerners. I mean bad attitude ill. And I'm like, because they didn't have their eyes upon Jesus, the attitude. So what's the first thing? Faith. When you're trying to be thankful, when it's hard to be thankful, you got to have faith that God has it in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. You got to have it that He's with you. He's got you. He's got this. The second thing is having an attitude such that I'm going to make myself be positive and believe God. Now, I'm not saying deny what's going on around you, but I'm going to put my faith in God. And I'm going to put my trust in God. I'm not going to put my trust in the naysayers. And people are going to beat me down. But I'm going to trust in Jesus and have my hope be placed upon Him and in Him. So your attitude's got to be right. I don't believe you can have faith. I don't believe you can be thankful if you don't have faith. I don't believe you can be thankful if you don't have a great attitude. So those two things got to be together. And the third thing is perseverance. I don't think you can have faith or have thanks, be thankful for your life if you don't persevere. If you don't have perseverance in your life. If you don't have, if struggles come your way, you've got to persevere. That father persevered with his son, and eventually he got the answer that was coming. Eventually God answered him. Now sometimes God will answer you in different ways, different than you expect. But there was a perseverance. So the way to be thankful, let me read this passage to you. Applying perseverance. So we have applying faith, applying the right attitude, and applying perseverance. Romans chapter 5 says, and not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint or put to shame, literally, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Perseverance brings about proven character. Proven character, hope. Like I said earlier, I probably could go around the room and hear some of the trials and the tribulations that you personally have been through. And it probably blew my mind that you're in this room today serving God. Because God has lifted you up. Because you had faith and you had attitude and you had perseverance. I would be blown away if we all were around just amazement how what God has done in our lives. But I believe we as a congregation, if we live a life of thankfulness, thanks living, I really believe that we could impact our community to such a greater extent than we are right now. Because the world needs hope, and they need to see a people who have some hope. And thanksgiving is an outworking of having hope in Jesus. And if we have this faith, and we have this attitude, and we have this perseverance, I really believe people will look at us and say, I need what you have. How did you have that? How is it that you're still in faith even though you're not happy about things? How is it that you're still walking this way? I can't believe what you've been through, but yet there's something about you. There's a hope. There's a thankfulness there, and I need that. I need something. And what have you got? And all you have to do is say, let me tell you something. The only reason I'm thankful today is because I have a Savior, because I have a Jesus Christ died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He gave me eternal life. He gave me hope for this life right now. Also, He given me hope for eternity. At this point, it's all about Jesus, people. It's all about Him. It's all about what He did. It's all about what He's did and what He's doing and what's He going to do. I can pull out some verses in the book of Revelation. Makes everybody nervous when I pull out Revelation. Now, coming back on a white horse, He is going to win. He is going to win. He's already won. Now we're going to have the manifestation of that winning over and over again until the ultimate return of our Messiah to the earth. And at that, so we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot that we can go, Jesus, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you. I know I struggled with cancer, but you got me through it. I had a loved one who died of cancer, but they died. They were ready with Jesus, and they went right into eternity at that moment, because God is looking for eternity. He plans for eternity. Living a life of thankfulness. Going into Thanksgiving. Think about that as we're going into Thanksgiving. The pilgrims came here for religious freedom. And we know our country is a wonderful place. We've had our problems. And we got our problems. But I am thankful today that God gave me a chance to live here. Even with the problems. Even with the stresses. But most importantly, it's not about anybody else but Jesus Christ. If I can't be thankful about anything else, I can be thankful about Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Be thankful about Jesus. So let's have our eyes be upon Jesus during Thanksgiving. Let's realize that it was not for Him where we would be at if it was not for Him. Let's think about that during our holiday season, okay? And let's give Him all the glory and the honor that's due His name. And I believe if we will have faith, if we will have a right attitude, and we will have perseverance, we could walk out of here today and be so full of thankfulness to what God has done, even in the midst of turmoil and pain and anger and everything that's going on around us, we can trust God for what he's done for us. Amen.